This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Rick Vargas. He's director of the play Port Authority Throwdown, which opens on Thursday, the 28th of January at Teatro Paraguas. And Rose Corrigan, who is the lead actress, welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So you are two Chicago people who are doing a New York play.
In Santa Fe.
In Santa Fe, and very much of a, you get the sort of gritty New York sense from the play. I haven't seen it yet, but, you know, even reading it,
yes,
it has that feeling of the people really at the bottom of the totem pole. Tell us
Absolutely.
About this play a little bit, who the characters are.
Well, one of the first things I asked the actors in auditions and during the first read, or maybe told them, is you have to be okay with the language. You have to be okay with, you know, the social issues and how everybody talks to each other in that environment, you know.
The F word, for
the
example.
The F word, the MF word, the B-A-N-Z, whatever it is. Yeah. So if they don't believe that those words coming out of your mouth, they're not going to leave the play. So.
Yeah.
That was very important, and everybody, you know, they seem to want to get gritty. You know, a lot of the shows here are they don't get as dark or as I guess gritty, for lack of a better term. But you know, that's one of the reasons I chose this play, because how fast it moves. Basically, I look at it like it's an independent film on stage. You know, it moves pretty quick. You know, the beats are they bleed into each other, and you have to have strong actors that are believing in what they're doing. So that's what drove me to pick this play. Yeah.
So two Pakistani brothers, one driving a cab, one selling newspapers, and a homeless black guy who works on the same corner, who's basically on the same corner as the newspaper seller, and the lovely Rose Corrigan playing Barb, who is from Ohio and came on a kind of religious mission and has a ride with the cab driver, and things progress from there. A very interesting mix of people, because this play takes place really, what is it, a year or two after 9/11?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely, yes.
2003.
Later that fall, yeah.
Right, and so the anti-Muslim sentiment is as high as it's ever been in New York City, and that wound is very fresh, and that prejudice is there. And, of course, the racial prejudice against African-American people is there, and those two people and the conversations they have with each other become very interesting and quite heated.
Right. A good thing about how the writer makes his point is that you know, it's kind of like this mafia thing. Everybody pays. You know, it doesn't matter if you're from the Middle East, if you're African American, you know, if you're Christian, if you're Jewish. Everybody pays. I mean, they all get their just due, and that's something that really drew me to this show as well. I think when I cast Rose, I thought, you know, I mean, she looks the part. You know, she. You know, she has that naivete, and it, I don't care what anybody says as a director or a filmmaker, that's 50% of it. I mean, they have to at least have the essence of that, you know, that character, and then, you know, the other 50% is just being able to believe in what they do. But, yes, I think it's what drew me to this show was the fact that the grit, and it actually takes place in 2003, 2 years after 9/11. And in the time where the World Series was happening, you know, in the fall, so the weather is like perfect in New York at that time.
Yeah.
You know, so tensions can run high. Nobody's hiding from the snow, and it's not quite, you know, August. But yeah, I've never been to New York, you know, to tell you the truth. I've watched a lot of you know, stuff about it, and I know the feel, being from Chicago, what a city has to look like, a street corner
right.
has to look like. So.
So let's talk about your character, Rose Corrigan, whose name is Barb, who is indeed a naive character who at the very beginning you don't think you're going to, maybe you don't as an an audience member you don't think you're going to like, but you grow to have a lot of empathy for her.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. She has a lot of views that I don't share, but she's upfront about her beliefs, and she is genuinely trying to help people, even if it may not come across that way.
Right.
So, and we're both from the Midwest, so I let my Midwestern dialect fly.
Right.
That's a lot of fun, so.
Yeah, the kind of subtext of religion and religious belief and who's a fundamentalist.
Right.
And what that means to them is another kind of thread in this play.
What drives the characters is they really do know what they want and who they are. They just go through a journey of saying, okay, well, I don't need this anymore. I don't necessarily want this anymore. Let's think of something else that I could become, or maybe, you know, have a point of view that's different from what I had in the beginning of the show. So every one of these characters, they shift. You know, I always thought, you know, that there's basically, you know, a static character in a play or movie, or a dynamic one. You're either or. And here, I think all of them are dynamic characters. You know, they all have this development, whether they come in or they go out. But it has to shift, and I think that's what makes this interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept reminding my actors, you know, every day, you know, we rehearse, you made a choice, you know, play your actions. You know, that has to be important, because that's what we do in everyday life.
What is it like for you to be directing a play where everybody is a dynamic, changing character?
Making sure that it goes along with the theme of the story, that it's, you know, not maybe going too far of what the writer hasn't intended, and just making sure it's believable. You know, the essence of an emotion or the essence of behavior or movement. You know, it's got to be believable. You know, it's, you've been to Paraguas, and you know the front row, they're on top of you.
Yeah.
So they're gonna see a blink of an eye. They're gonna see, you know, if they don't believe a little smirk on your face, you know, they're not going to believe it. So everything has to be where the actor's focused and you know, they're in the moment.
Intimate space indeed.
Yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's important for actors to develop that type of skill, to develop that type of, you know, that anticipation of, you know, the juices flowing when the audience is right there on top of you. You know, it's a matter of focus, you know, and that will... I told these actors in the beginning, I said, listen, we're in Santa Fe. Maybe if this play was happening in San Diego or Chicago, New York, or, you know, Minnesota, you might not get a chance to play this. The competition's too fierce. So embrace this. This is a character of a lifetime. Play it. You can't play it straight. You got to go up there, and nobody wants to see you up on stage. They want to see a character. You know, they want to see somebody up there that's developing in front of their eyes. And you know, Rose has completed the picture. So, you know, in her own painting of who this person, you know, looks like, moves like, and is. From the time that you started the play, did you, you know, how did you feel like you've developed, you know, into Barb?
Well, what she says became less and less shocking to me, and it just became a means to an end, you know. She's got actions she's trying to complete, and she does change.
We're talking about the play Port Authority Throwdown, which opens this week at Teatro Paraguas. Now, here are the two of you, not only both from Chicago, but studied with some of the same people when
Yes.
you were studying theater and acting and so on. How did you each end up in Santa Fe, New Mexico?
Well, I moved here with my family about 10 years ago and went back to Chicago to complete my theater degree. And then... before I left, I had met my husband, so when I graduated, I came back here. So, and luckily, we have this burgeoning film industry and a lot of theater, so there's work for me.
Excellent. Yeah.
I moved to L.A. in 2009 after I shot a movie in Beverly Ridge. I shot a movie out there. That's how it's another thing that we connected with. And I made a little bit of money, and of course, like the greedy actor that I am, I went out to L.A. and it was a total disaster. I couldn't find a job, and was out there like 4 months. So I came back to Chicago, worked for a couple months. But I had stayed in Santa Fe on my way to L.A. one night at the Red Roof Inn on Cerritos. And I text my girlfriend at the time, who was just, we were hanging on by a thread. I said, wow, I love Santa Fe. I might end up here someday. And about 8 months later, I did, when a friend, a writer friend of mine said, why don't you try New Mexico? The film industry's booming. I'm like, okay. You know, and then I looked into it, and I saved some money, and I came out here, and I got cast in, you know, TV shows and a couple movies, and just kept, you know, I thought, you know, I need to get back into theater. It took me about a year to get back into, you know, the theater scene, and then now I'm here 5 years later, so.
Are a lot of people like you, like actors, going back and forth between theater and film here in the state?
I think you have to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to want to work. You know, to either doing a class, writing. I just finished a screenplay about a conspiracy here in northern New Mexico, about the Dulce underground base, and sixth rewrite, and I'm looking for, you know, production. It's basically a TV pilot. You know, you have to keep working, whether it's writing, whether it's acting, teaching a class in the fall, you know, I intend to do.
Have you also been going, Rose, back and forth between film and theater?
Yes. Yeah, I like to work and do as many different things as possible and learn, so yeah, I think it's helpful.
People say doing theater keeps up your acting chops in a certain way. Is that your experience?
I think so, yes, and taking classes as well, yeah.
Yeah, just like anything else, you know, it's like in baseball, if you go in the batting cages, it could screw up your timing, you know, rather than, you know, hitting live pitching. But if you do it the right way, it can help. You know, I've had people tell me, you know, oh, theater acting is different than film. I'm like, show me. What do you mean? You know, what do you mean by that? And most of them can't explain, and it's basically just sleight of movement. You know, let the camera do the work, you know. But it doesn't mean that nothing's going on internally, and that's important for an actor. They have to know, you know, why they're doing things. You know, they have to know who they're talking to, where they are, all that stuff. And it's no different. But in theater, they just have to see it a little bit better because it's more body than it is eyebrow and face on film.
Right. And you have the, what I always imagine is kind of the advantage of doing it chronologically all at once as opposed to in film where you might film the last scene first,
right,
and so
absolutely.
On.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, when I, Rose and I talk about this too, when I go down and audition for stuff, it's like, yeah, I always tell her. You know, she's basically starting to, you know, get an agent and doing all this stuff. I said, they're looking for a way not to cast you. So, you know, you got to come in on point. You know, you got to come in prepared, you know, off book, and, you know, ready to read another character that they didn't even ask you to read if you have to. That's professionalism. You know, that's taking personal responsibility for what you want and what you, you know, can bring to, you know, this craft or a story.
Yeah, yeah. So the play is called Port Authority Throwdown. It's a play about two Pakistani brothers, a black man and a white woman from Ohio. And it opens on January 28th, which is this Thursday, and runs through the 14th of February at Teatro Paraguas. There is a gala reception on Saturday, this coming Saturday. For reservations, you can call 505-424-1601. You can also write to teatroparaguas@gmail.com or go to teatroparaguas.org. And the wonderful theater is on 3205 Calle Marie, which is kind of in the area behind right. Home Depot. You can find it on the website or pretty much anywhere. So Rick Vargas is director of Port Authority Throwdown. Rose Corgan is the lead actress. I want to thank you both very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.